Just say, I'm not going to say an awful lot about the passage of Scripture that we're going to read this morning. So what I want you to do is actually think, what is it God is saying to me through this passage today? I will make one or two comments, but sometimes I think we can read the Bible and then we listen to the sermon, or we perhaps read our Bibles at home and then we really get onto our Bible reading notes to explain what it's all about, rather than actually taking the time to really hear what is in this passage. Now, the version we're using is from The Message, which is a bit different. Is that on, by the way? And I've got five different people to come and read it, but the words will be on the screen. So those that I've asked to read Isaiah 58, if you'd like to come forward now, please. Thanks. And do use the mic so that anyone using the loop can pick it up. Thanks. Thank you.
Shout, a full-throated shout, hold nothing back, a trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives, face my family Jacob with their sins. They're busy, 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 busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right living people, law-abiding, God-honouring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? I love having me on their, and love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice?
Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off to the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast I'm after? A day to show off humility? To put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that a fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like?
This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry. Inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am.
If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again.
If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honour it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so.
Thanks very much. Neil, if we could just put the first slide back on, please, and just take a moment. So you don't need to necessarily look at again at those words, but you can if you want to. But let's just take a moment to be quiet and ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and really bring home to us what it is that God wants to say to us through his word today. Because I doubt that any of us could have heard those words and not recognize there are things in our lives, particularly in how we relate to other people, that maybe we need to do something about. So let's be quiet for a moment as we ask God to speak to us. Well, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. We thank you that as we again hear your word in scripture, your spirit moves in our hearts and minds, speaking to us about our lives today. Lord, we confess that sometimes we too can think we're doing the right things, come to church, sing the songs, say the prayers, even read our Bibles every day or whatever it is that we do, and yet be blind to the things in our lives which are wrong, which you want to put right. Well, particularly the way that we treat other people and see them as being there for our benefit, rather than finding ways to show them your love. Lord, we ask that you would be at the center of our lives and at the center of this church, so that your light will shine in us and through us for your honor and glory. Amen. Amen. One of the people in our church who I've noticed is really fit. I don't mean good looking. I meant fit, as in runs around a lot and has lots of energy, is also a doctor. Well, the two of you are now sweating, thinking, I hope he doesn't mean me. But it is David Law. David, I wonder if you'd like to come here for a moment. He knows nothing about what I'm going to do next. He doesn't know what I'm going to do next because I haven't decided. But look. Look at him. What a fine figure of a man. He's even wearing a tennis shirt and trainers, which is great, because you didn't know I was going to do this, did you?
No.
The reason I know David is really fit is that sometimes after the service, when all the chairs have been cleared away, he runs around playing with the kids. What do you call it? Tag, or?
I don't know. Is it tag? Yeah.
It
must be tag.
It must be tag.
No, and tag pants.
And David's running around, and I'm looking at him thinking, my goodness, he's got a lot of energy there. Do you ever sort of do exercises? Do you bodybuild or anything like that? Or do you run and things like that?
No.
You don't?
No.
How are you at press-ups?
Not wonderful.
Would you like to just try one?
I can manage one.
One would be fine. Do you know what to do, don't you? Yeah. Maybe. You know what to do. It's great. That'll do. Look at that. Look at that. All right, no more. You're just showing off now. That was great, you know. So if this is your doctor, he is obviously in the peak of physical health, isn't he? But there are a number of things that you need, doctor, to be healthy, aren't there, in life? Just ordinary things. Like
more sleep.
More sleep. Well, I was going to say rest is one of them. But so is a healthy diet. So you need water to drink. It is good church water. And you obviously need food. So there's a little bit of bread there. It's a good bit of little Peter bread. You're not recording this, are you? Because that was advertising. And you also should have how many portions of fruit and veg a day?
If you live in England, 5, and if you live in Australia, 8.
8? If you live in Australia, you have to have 8 portions of fresh fruit and vegetables. Is that why they always beat us at...
Probably.
Okay. I don't know if you particularly want to eat a carrot, raw carrot this morning.
It hasn't been peeled, no.
Well, I thought if I peeled it, it might go off before we got to this point in the service. So I won't insist that you do that, and you can go and sit down. Do you want any more bread?
That's okay.
You're okay. You better have the water as well, because you might want to wash that down with that. Okay. But we do need water or some things to drink. We need food, and we also need exercise. We need rest. And we need this mysterious gift of life that God gives to us. I was talking to someone in the hospice the other day, and he's not a committed Christian, but we were just talking about what it is that is life, and the fact that you know when it's gone. Now, some famous athletes on the screen here. Jennifer Ennis, and what's the other guy in the bottom left called? Oh, that's right, Andy Murray, yeah. Do anybody know the lady in the bottom right? Rower? Catherine Granger, Kate Granger, who finally got a gold medal after various attempts. And the footballer? Eden Hazard is Footballer of the Year. And they're obviously at the peak of physical fitness, but there is a lot more to being healthy than just having, you know, a really good body. But move on to the next slide, Neil, if you would. Any similarity to the Olympic rings is purely intentional. The first thing we've been thinking about is what we need for our physical health. Thanks, Neil. Life is a gift from God. We need air to breathe. We need water to drink in some form. We need food. We also need sunlight. It's very good for us. And we need rest if we're going to be healthy. But we also need other things. What else might somebody need? I'm looking at some of the kids now. Can you help me out here? What are some of the things that somebody might need to be healthy in their life? Because if they've got all those things, that's okay. But what else might they need? Yep. They need to be happy. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. They need to be happy. Karen? Yeah, Lucy? They need family. That's right. They need people around them, people to support them. And I'm thinking you haven't come to church today without anything on, have you? Partly because it would be rude, but also because we wear clothes. We need protection and we need a shelter. We need somewhere to rest and to live. And the next set of points reminds us of all those things that we need that are necessary to have a healthy life. It's no good just looking after your physical, your body in terms of what you eat and all the rest of it. You need love. You need companionship, friendship, family, and people to care for you. You need shelter and clothes. You need to have safety and security in life. You need to know that to be healthy, that you're not suddenly going to find an army or terrorists coming over the hills and chasing you out of your home or killing you or whatever it is, which happens around the world as we know. And you need fun at times as well, as Noah said, to be happy. But thirdly, there's another area, which is perhaps something we sometimes forget. Thanks, Neil. In order to have a healthy life, we need purpose. We need to have something worth living for. We also need work. Now, some of you might be looking at me thinking, I don't need work. I've got too much of it. or I'm now retired. By work, I'm meaning in the broadest sense. It may not be paid employment. It may be what you do voluntarily. A number of you come and help here. Things like Little Wonders during the week. And other things, or with Sparks on a Sunday night, who still need a helper, don't they, Rachel, by the way? Quick plug slid in there. That's also work, the work and service that we do. We exercise our bodies, but we need to exercise the rest of our lives as well, our minds and our emotions, and serve other people. And we need to use our God-given creativity to do the things that he's invited us to do. So those are some of the things that we need. What I'd like to move on to is just thinking about, if that's what we need for a healthy life as a person, how do we put that into the context of the church and being a healthy church? Thanks, Neil. Because the Apostle Paul said, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. How do we make sure that we as a church, the body of Christ, are healthy? And I want to try and make some parallels between those three things, those three points that we've just thought of. Let's call them this. Thanks, Neil. Let's call them worship, mission, and fellowship. If our church is going to be healthy, then all those three things are needed, and they all need to be in the right proportion. They all need to be in balance. It's very easy to focus on one or the other and miss out on a healthy balance so that our body as a church is in good shape. Funnily enough, they all link in with something Jesus said in the Gospels. Thanks, Neil. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He also said, love your neighbor as yourself. And thirdly, he said to his disciples, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You hear what's coming through there? Loving God, we work out in our love for one another. And everyone is included in those commands. Jesus elsewhere said, love your enemies, by which he was saying, make your enemies your neighbours. The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us that. So everybody that we know, we are called to love because we love God. The passage that we read from Isaiah talked about how we treat our employees, how we treat members of our families. Where we see that people have needs, we're going to be the first ones to respond to them because we've known the love of God in our lives. Jesus said, love. We could express it in these terms, just putting it simply as a way of remembering. Thanks, Neil. Loving God, loving God's world, and loving God's people. Loving God, loving God's world, and loving God's people. Having all those three things in balance enables us to be a healthy, growing church. Finally, just a reminder of those three words: worship, mission, and fellowship. Because God says, when you put me at the centre, and when you love those who are in need around you, when you love one another, as I've called you to do, then my light's going to shine. Thanks, Neil. Lord, we pray that you would indeed shine the light of your love in us and through us. And we pray that you'd help us as a church to be healthy, because we worship you as we should. We love our neighbours, those in the world around us, as you've called us to do. And we love one another in the way that Jesus did, being willing to serve one another in his name. We ask all these things for his sake.